acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as you know, we've just had another Black Friday. And for those of us who weren't able to participate in it, I found online this Black Friday simulator to give us as much as possible the Black Friday experience. So there you go. I hope you all feel like you were there now. And well, Black Friday, at its worst, certainly can be looking for hope in stuff, accumulating more, which of course is looking in the wrong place. I also learned this past week of the town of Courtenay, BC, that's completely missed the point of what this time of year is all about. As you can see, today, December 1st, they're offering a gnarly Christmas fair, Captain Thunderpants, and at 11:15, pictures with Satan. Close up, Murray. And meant to be Santa, I hope. It would certainly be a Black Sunday if it were pictures with Satan, as well as a Black Friday. Well, Advent is about yearning and hope, but looking in the right place for it. Yearning for the light, for dawn. Indeed, the dawn that comes from the one who is the light of the world. And so our passages today are all about that, and we'll start with our passage from Isaiah chapter 2, which gives us a vision of glory to come. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house, it says, shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. These last much-loved words appear in the exact same form in Isaiah's contemporary, the prophet Micah's book, chapter 4, verse 3. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. They shall not learn war anymore. And then our Isaiah passage ends with the admonition, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The light is shining now, in other words. We are called now to walk in it. And that thought is developed in our canticle, which is taken from later in Isaiah, in chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It's the light like the dawn has come and has occurred. It says, though night still covers the earth and darkness covers the nations, over you will the Lord arise. Over you will his glory appear. What's the result of that? Well, it says, nations will stream to your light. Kings, to your dawning brightness. There's a longing for light, and when people see it, they will be drawn to it. Your gates will always be open, it says. Day or night, they will never be shut. In other words, you will always be welcoming those who come. There will never be a time where you'll say, no, no, that's enough now. Stay away, please. Violence will no more be heard in your land. Ruin or destruction within your borders. As in Isaiah chapter 2, the light brings peace. No longer will the sun be your light by day, no longer the moon give you light by night. The Lord will be your eternal light. Your God will be your glory. Awesome words. In our gospel, this dawn is identified with the coming of our Lord Jesus. And in that passage, there are two basic and unmistakably clear points. The first point is that we don't know when that coming will take place. The second point is, therefore, we must be ready always for it. Jesus says in verse 36, but about That day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As an important aside, this shows our Lord Jesus' full humanity. When you think about it, there are obvious limits to knowledge, and he has a human brain. But note what happens if anyone else were to say these words. Any person who said, angels don't understand this, even I don't understand it. And more than this, who referred to God as the Father and then themselves as the Son, anyone who did that we would see immediately was making claims about themselves that no human should make. It shows our Lord's divinity. And so, as D.A. Carson says, commenting on this passage, quoting Broadus, if the Son himself does not know the time of the parousia, how cheerfully should we, his followers, rest in ignorance that cannot be removed, trusting in all things to our Heavenly Father's wisdom and goodness, striving to obey his clearly revealed will, and leaning on his goodness for support. Jesus continues, talking about in the days of Noah, as in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. And the point is that everything's continued on as normal before the flood came. People were not looking for it. Jesus says, keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Then he gives another illustration to drive his point home. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. First century houses in Nazareth, where Jesus lived from boyhood until he was 30, were very small and simple. In our Advent study this past week, we looked at reconstruction of those houses, and including what, for example, a door looked like. Now, that would not be very hard to break into, I would dare say. It's not 6 inches thick with 10 locks. No, your only protection was to be ready for the thief. Therefore, Jesus says, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. What does it mean to be ready? Well, Paul answers in today's epistle. The context for the epistle, just the verses just before the passage that we read today, Paul has said, owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Then he continues, now is the moment for you to wake from sleep, to start really living rather than sleepwalking through life. Wake up, in other words, he's saying, for salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, a wonderful image. Let us live honorably as in the day. We are called to live in the light, not to try to hide actions in darkness. Reminds me of the words in 1 John. I am writing you a new commandment that is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says, I am in the light, while hating a brother or sister, is still in the darkness. Whoever loves a brother or sister lives in the light, and in such a person, there is no cause for stumbling. And so we are called to live in the light of the Lord, to live love. And Paul ends by saying, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how we do it. We allow his life to penetrate, to make us into his likeness. N.T. Wright, commenting on this passage, says, Paul says, don't suppose that you are at the moment simply in darkness with nothing to do before the great day arrives. The day has already begun to dawn with the coming of Jesus, so that Jesus' followers are already people of the day. The promise of God's future is meant to inculcate neither helplessness nor complacency, but rather energy to work as day people in a world that thinks it's still night. We walk in the light, we spread the light. And there are just two examples I'd like to for us to think on today of the countless possibilities. First is because it's World AIDS Day today. December 1st each year is World AIDS Day. One way that we can spread the light is by becoming informed about this disease. And we have ribbons outside the sanctuary, and there's information also on a table. And if you haven't looked at things recently, you really should, because there has been much that's been happening. And we have words of hope that we can share. There's the 90-90-90 initiative for 2020. That's 90% of people being aware of their HIV status, 90% of those who are HIV positive being on HIV treatment, and 90% of those being virally suppressed. There are about 38 million people throughout the world today who are HIV positive. The goal is for by 2020 for there to be 30 million on treatment and fewer than 500,000 new HIV infections annually. HIV is no longer a death sentence, but access to the medication that's available is essential. We can take a part in supporting initiatives for justice to take place and inequalities to be addressed and access to be given to all. That's the first. The second thing I want to just mention today is Giving Tuesday. Giving Tuesday started in 2012 in response to Black Friday and Cyber Monday. They said, okay, if you're going to do Black Friday and Cyber Monday, we're going to do Giving Tuesday, where we focus on Tuesday on giving, especially to charities that are near and dear to our hearts. And one of the things that we can do is actually give online to St. Paul's, and Canada Helps will add an extra $5 when you donate $25 or more. So if you're interested, please talk with Karen, our treasurer, or Paul, or with me after the service, and we'll talk and let you know how to go about doing that. But it's very easy and straightforward. And of course, in addition to St. Paul's, we can support all kinds of different initiatives, including those to help those living with HIV/AIDS. We have the message that the dawn is coming, and we have the wonderful privilege of embodying the good news of its first rays now, that people can experience love and healing, not just in the future, but experience the beginnings now, that we can know peace, not just in the future, but we can experience reconciliation one with another now. So we're going to end with a song today that embodies this hope and this celebration, that this is a joyful anticipation that we have as we wait. Using words from our Isaiah 2 passage, this song is the 100th Playing for Change video, where artists from all over the world unite together in song. And so we'll reflect on it together.
Down by the riverside, down by that river, down.
Thanks be to God. Amen.